This is Catherine McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I'm friends with the monster that's under my bed. Get along with the voices inside of my head. You're trying to save me, stop holding your breath. And you think I'm crazy, yeah, you think I'm crazy.
I wanted to fame, but not the cover of Newsweek. Oh well, guess Becky can't be choosy. Wanted to receive attention from my music. Wanted to be left alone in public, excuse me. I wanted my cake and eat it too. I wanted it both ways. Fame made me a balloon, cause my ego inflated when I blew sleep. It was confusing, cause all I wanted to do was be the Bruce Lee of loosely abused ink. Use it as a tune when I blew sink. Hit the lottery, ooh wee. But with what I gave up to get, it was bittersweet. It's like winning a used me. I'm blind cause I think I'm getting so huge. I need
a... Okay, if there's a most favorite interview I've ever done on All Marine Radio, I think people know that it's the interview I did with this guy almost 2 years ago. Jeremiah Workman joins us this morning. Jeremiah, what's going on? How are you?
Oh, doing well. Just hooking and jabbing over here at Quantico and taking care of the Marines and sailors.
We love you for it, man. We love you for it. How's life? How's the beauty salon? More importantly, how's the beauty salon doing?
The salon is doing awesome. She's busy as can be, and she's doing her own hooking and jabbing.
There you go. Shay Nicole, right?
Jay Nicole.
How about that? First of all, before I ask you the question I wanted to have you on to ask you, the interview that we did, like 2.5 hours 2 years ago, it is one of the most raw pieces of audio, and I've done, we're starting our third year, and it's one of the most raw pieces of audio that I've ever done. Okay, that's why I love it so much, because of your honesty in it. How often can you go back there and still, because really the theme of the question I'm going to ask you is keeping the monkeys in the cage, which is now a favorite term here on All Marine Radio, okay? It is. It's awesome, right? I mean, you get these ghetto-ass pearls of wisdom, right, from guys that never have gone to college about how to live and how to cope, how to coexist with this trauma that you're living with, right? How often? So I guess my question of my this is not really the question, but this is a question. How often can you go back there? And I know you do it for everybody else, but how often can you go back to those events, or can you do it on a regular basis now because you've lived with it for 14 years?
Yeah, I mean, I can go back. I think about it all the time.
Right.
I found myself last night as I was going to bed thinking about it, you know, and it's a different way of thinking about it now than it was 14 years ago.
Explain it. How do you think about it now as opposed to in the aftermath? And you describe much of that in the interview. How do you think about it
now? Yeah, I think now it's more... I've accepted what happened, and I can't go back and change it. So I can't continue to beat myself up and destroy myself and my family trying to relive and go back and essentially change what happened. Cause that's what was going on. So now when I think about it, I think about the guys that we lost, and I think about the good times we had, and I just think about what great Marines they were and that they're the true heroes and things like that. So,
okay. So what happened that, that allowed you to accept it? Is it time?
I think for me it's been time. Like you said, it's been 14 years, and lot of destruction and just a lot of stuff happened between in that last 14 years. And eventually, for me, I just got to a point where I'm like, you know what, this is not healthy. I can't do this to my family, and I need to take a different approach to this. And I think, I woke up one day and I just told myself, you've got to do something different.
Really? Because a lot of people say that, I need to take a different approach, but they can't do it, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I wish I could tell you there was something magical there.
Right. No, I'm with you.
But there really wasn't. It was just, you know, I looked in the mirror and I'm like, man, this something has to change here. And, you know, my wife supported me and my kids are still young, but I look at them and I'm like, man, I need to do better for them. You know, they don't understand what happened. I mean, they're still too young to understand, but right. I can still look at them and know I need to be better for them.
Interesting. The true badass in the Workman family is not Jeremiah. Okay.
No.
Just for the record. Okay. All right. Interesting. That's awesome. This is a question I called to ask you. Alcohol and post-traumatic stress. We, in our tribe, alcohol is a part of it. Whether we want to admit that, but I think most of the guys who join, in particular the grunts, you know, badasses, right? And run it hard, play hard, alcohol's a part of it. Give me your thoughts on alcohol and post-traumatic stress. Can they coexist? I said a few minutes ago before I told everybody, yeah, he didn't even know what we were going to talk about. But so this is the question I wanted to ask you, because I've been dealing with it with somebody else who started listening to Auburn Radio and said, I love this, and I've never heard this kind of advice anyplace else. Is alcohol one of the keys that gets the monkeys out of the cage?
I think so. Throughout the years, you know, with my own experiences, alcohol was one of the main contributing factors to my downward spiral. And I don't want to come on here and sound like I'm a therapist or a psychologist, but I think it is kind of hard for them to coexist, because over the years, you know, for instance, I go to a couple Vietnam veterans reunions each year, and the night starts out great, and the more some of these guys get to drinking, it's not just funny drunk stuff. It gets really deep, and the monkeys then get out of the cage, so to speak.
Right.
But, you know, now some of the guys are teared up and they're crying. You know, it just gets really dark and it gets really deep really fast. I think you can. I mean, I'd be lying if I said I didn't drink anymore.
Right.
But I've definitely cut back, and I do it more as a social thing and and I don't use it as a coping mechanism. So I think if you can separate, and some people just can't do it, they're not at that point where they can do that. But if you can get to the point where you can go out on a date with your wife or your significant other and have a beer or wine, whatever you like, that's one thing. But when you sit around day in, day out and drink to the point of no return, then that's where the issue is.
So in our culture of – because, see, I even struggle with It's like, oh, man, do I want to be that guy? It's like you struggling with not being that guy on the sideline of your kid's football game, right? You know you want to be that guy, but you try not to. It's like, I mean, I'm thinking about this conversation in my head, and I'm thinking, man, this is so unmarine-like. It's like saying, be gentle with yourself when you're going through this. That gives me the heebie-jeebies as a Marine. What? Be gentle with yourself? That's not the way we do it. And to start a conversation with, hey man, you want some post traumatic stress advice? Stop drinking. What?
Yeah.
Hey Mac, my phone screwed up. I thought I just heard you say stop drinking. Yeah, bro. I'm not gonna lie to you. That's what I just said. Whoa. Are you okay? Are you okay? Is this a cry for help? Right? I mean, that's what, because it's not the way our culture deals with stuff. Man up, take care of your business. But, you know, one of the things that I've seen in dealing with so many guys, it's that alcohol is this enabler of getting the monkeys out of the cage, you know? And they're strong monkeys, too. They're not like the little chimps in The Wizard of Oz, like humpback. These are like gorilla monkeys, okay?
Yeah, they're big ones.
Yeah, they're big monkeys swinging a chain.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes. But I struggle because culturally that's not the way we do it. And I mean, and goddamn, you know what, Jeremiah, one of the things I when I listened to your that interview is like, could the Marine Corps have fucked it up any worse for you? Okay, let's take them out of 3-5. Let's send them to the drill field. That'll be good for them. Okay, now, where next? Let's send him to the goddamn museum and make him Joe Louis outside of a casino, and he could talk about this shit all the time. It's like, I listen to it now thinking, man, we made it so much harder for you than institutionally than we had to, and then you went home and self-medicated. And so,
yeah.
But, you know, but in our culture, I can handle my business. You know, yeah, I'll go to therapy, I'll go to mental health. And then I leave mental health, I go home and I drink. Come on, man.
Yeah. That's and like I said, I don't want to be the one on here saying quit drinking, that's going to solve all your problems. Yeah. It's just, for most people, it's not realistic. Just quit drinking. So, like myself, like I said before, I just tried to cut back a little bit. You know, if you find yourself drinking a case of beer on a Sunday and a Monday, you know, that's when it gets to be ugly.
So let me ask you about that. So we're talking about, instead of getting to like 38,000 feet, maybe trying to stay at like 7,000 feet. But the problem is a lot of people can't do that. How did you do it? I mean, the part I left out about the Marine Corps' great program for you was the black tie dinner, right? Where you're going all over the country, going to these big time Marine Corps events and getting drink after drink shoved into your mug. And hey, there's a good way. We could help him out by doing this. You need
the universe was people for the service.
Right, right. So how did you actually, so drinking was part of the way you coped and became part of the way you lived. How did you, was that part of just the realization that something's got to change and acceptance of what happened and dial back the drinking? Did that all happen simultaneously?
Yeah, it all happened. It all happened kind of at the same time.
Got it.
It was all part of the looking in the mirror and saying, holy shit, I am destroying myself, but not just me. My family is suffering. And I think for a lot of people, a lot of Marines and soldiers that I know that that I talk with, it's not until they realize that their family is suffering and most likely on the verge of leaving you,
right,
that they're willing to make a change.
Interesting, right? Interesting that you won't do it for yourself, right? That this destructive kind of behavior goes on. But when you somehow it other resonates when you're impacting your children and your wife, and it's about to, you know, it's heading in the direction of going south. That somehow makes a difference more than doing it for yourself.
Absolutely.
Wow. All right. All right. Anything else about that subject that I'm not smart enough to ask you that you want to say, because I'm sure you think about it a lot?
I do think about it a lot. And like I said, I wish there was a wand that you could wave and get people's attention, get them to do what they need to do and get them back on track. It's just...
Yeah, it doesn't happen like that.
For everybody, every situation is different. Everybody's at a different place in their journey with this. And I think for most people, it happens kind of the same way it happened for me. Sometimes it doesn't, unfortunately. But yeah, it's nasty, and it's a battle. It's a battle back here, and you know, there are people out there that still in the Marine Corps that think if you have PTSD, you're full of shit. And it's like, and we need to be better than that. We need to take a look around us and take care of our people.
So what do they think when they see like World War II and Vietnam vets on TV crying? Do they think that they're pussies too? You guys need to handle your business.
I've oftentimes wondered this because you see, you know, those guys from World War II and Korea and Vietnam, and I feel like most of the time they get a pass from our generation because they're the guys that set the tone for us and you know did it.
Right.
But it's just, for some reason, we want to eat our own, like our own generation. And I can't figure it out. I know people personally that thought PTSD was bullshit. But then 5 years later, I get a call from them. And everything's gone downhill. The only thing they have left is their dog. And they're suffering from PTSD. It's like, what the hell? I mean, it's strange how it works.
Do you get in their face? Like, yeah, asshole. 5 years ago?
No.
You don't? You're a good guy then.
No.
Do you think it, though? Tell the truth. Do you think it?
There's been a few times where I wanted to say, is that you? I'd be lying if I said I didn't want to say something. But I know, obviously, that's not appropriate for what's going on in their life right now. I don't want to be the guy that, you know, just crush them. But, we just need to stop eating our own. Take care of each other. Not to sound so lovey-dovey.
I know. Doesn't it give you the heebie-jeebies when you're saying it? It's like me talking about, and this email says it. Mac, bottom line, if you met somebody that was struggling with post-traumatic stress and alcohol, what would you tell them? What would Jeremiah tell them? And I'll go first. I would tell them, you got to stop drinking. Okay, you got to stop drinking and get a handle on this stuff and get a handle on your life, because it's just too many people think they can do both, get a handle on it and continue to drink and let the gorillas out of the cage, and you can, and it doesn't work like that for most people. Now, once you get it under control, might you be able to become a social drinker? Yeah, but you'll have to cross that bridge when you get there. You know?
Yeah.
That's the advice I would give him. You stop. What would you tell him? Because that's not how you did it. You did it different.
No, but, I mean, a lot of times that's all you can tell people. I mean, if somebody comes to me and says, hey, my son or my nephew, or hey, it's actually me dealing with it, and I tell them, you know, it's going to happen, trust me, just... One day you're going to wake up and you're going to realize you need to make a change. That's not really great advice on the spot for somebody.
Right.
But I, I do sometimes say exactly what you just said. Are you drinking? Yeah, I drink a fifth of whatever every night. I'm like, dude, you can't, you're never going to get over this if you're inebriated around the clock. Not get over it, but you're not going to learn to cope with it.
Right.
Deal with it.
To coexist with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. All right. That makes sense. All right. How are things at the VA? How's life?
Things are good.
All right. Wasn't designed to be a trick question. The
Yeah.
All right. Anything exciting going on this summer? You going on any hunting trips? You doing anything fun?
You know, my wife and I just got back from Alaska. We did a trip up there with an organization called Operation Hill Our Patriots.
Right.
And it was essentially a marriage retreat. And we were able to reconnect and really kind of focus on us. And we got back and we seemed to be a lot closer and doing a lot better than we were before we went, so... I would chalk it up as it was a week well spent up there. So,
well, that's interesting.
And I would,
right?
Yeah, I would tell anybody that's listening, go to Operation Hill Our Patriots if you're having issues with your spouse and take a look at it, because it's not one of those things where they beat you over the head with a Bible, but it is faith based, and yeah. There were a lot of Marines. There's 10 couples up there at the time, and when I was up there, it was mainly Marines, so
it was good. You guys could go on moto runs and things like that? Was it as good as jumping out of the plane singing the Marine Corps hymn, but was it up there? I bet it's the familiarity, right, of being with your tribe again. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, do you have a point of contact with the Heal Our Patriots that I could have on?
I could probably find you. I don't have. Quite honestly, my wife went to the website and applied, and
okay,
they called us and been selected to go.
All right. No. I can do that then. I can track them down via the website. Yeah.
It's actually Franklin Graham runs it.
Oh, really? So it's legit.
Yeah. Yeah, it is legit. No, they don't spare anything. I mean, it's 5-star all the way.
Wow.
And Franklin actually showed up when we were there just to say hi and meet everybody.
Oh, that's cool. Had you ever been to Alaska before?
No. I'd always wanted to go.
What's it like?
And, you know... It's just, it's powerful. I mean, it sounds really weird, but man, that place is so beautiful. It's the most beautiful place I've ever been. You're out in the middle of nowhere. No
Come
cell
on.
Phone, no TV.
Come on, you mean it's prettier than Al Anbar?
Just a little bit.
Are you shitting me?
I do miss the rivers and palm trees and blues.
Exactly. You know what? I've heard that Alaska simply, and again, this is, there have been so many unmarine-like things said in this like 20 minutes or so that it's making me kind of creepy. But they said, friends of mine that were in the Army were stationed up there because the Army's got bases up there. And they said,
yeah,
the majesty of Alaska makes you feel small, and its beauty blows you away. I'm like, all right, get away from me, okay? You're creeping me out. But everybody I've heard that has gone there says pretty much the same thing.
It's absolutely true. I mean, it'll give you goosebumps. I mean, it's like, wow.
All right. All right, I said 15 minutes. I've kept it for 25. The product of the Marion High School public education system in Marion, Ohio. He's an Ohio State guy, former member of 3rd Battalion, 5th Marines, weapons company, mortarman by trade, Jeremiah Workman, working in the Quantico area for the Veterans Administration. Jeremiah, first of all, thanks for coming on doing this. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
No, anytime, man. You know that. All right. All the best. Thanks. See ya.
Take care.
There you have it. The man, the myth, the legend, Jeremiah Workman. We'll take a break. We're going to ask Bob Nielsen the same question. He doesn't know it either. So we'll get his thoughts on it. And again, the reason I wanted to bring these guys on, I'm uncomfortable telling people don't drink. That's right. That's right. I'm uncomfortable with that. Why, Mac? Why are you uncomfortable with it? It's not something that my tribe says. But I said it to somebody last week, and then I called them up, over the weekend. Hey, what are you doing? Nothing. Why? Are you drinking? No. All right. Just checking. So, take a breath. I'll get Nielsen on the blower. More of All Marine Radio. Alcohol and post-traumatic stress. What are your thoughts? More of that coming up next.
This is Bob Nielsen.
Whoa, Bob.
The founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner. Proven and dependable.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Or call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
to one. My thanks to Jeremiah Workman for coming on. So up next to answer the question of the day is the one and only Bob Nielsen. Robert, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Mac. Doing great. Just spent a weekend in Wildwood, New Jersey with my wife's family. 70 or so members took over a motel, and we ate Italian food all weekend on the beach. It was great.
What's your favorite Italian food?
All of it.
That's not an answer.
They get a sausage out of the Bronx that's made with lamb and veal and cheese in it, called Chivalet. It's out of this world. And then, of course, we indulged in crabs, and then we had the homemade pasta. Forget it. It was wonderful.
Forget it. It was wonderful. All right.
They've been doing it for 40 years, so they're well rehearsed.
You know what? In my next life, I want to be Italian. Honestly, I mean,
they've got it figured out.
They do have it figured out. When you eat with the Italians, you do okay.
Oh, and you can imagine 70 people, and they got probably 20 rooms.
Yeah.
When they're pulling it all together, cooking in 8 different kitchens. Great time.
It's quality stuff. Okay, I've got a. Here's a question. Jeremiah Workman just answered it. I'm not going to tell you his answer.
I didn't listen to him either. So.
Good. All right. So you're blind, which I like. Okay. Post-traumatic stress and alcohol. Our tribe, when somebody starts talking about don't drink, like, I think 95% of the tribe clicks off. Click. Okay. So it's not in our tribal.
99.
Okay. I'm trying to be generous. It's not in our tribal nature to go down that road. But give me your thoughts and your experience on post-traumatic stress and alcohol.
Well, you're asking a guy that's been dealing with it for 55 years or 50-plus years since I got back from Vietnam. And, of course, when I was in Vietnam, I joined in 1959 and went on active duty in 63. Alcohol was an overly available part of the Marine Corps that was abused more than it was used. And it was really a sad part of it. And then, you know, going to Vietnam, it continued. You could get booze anywhere in Vietnam. I had a buddy of mine doing medevacs deliver me a case of beer for my guys with dry ice on it. And they thought this guy had come from heaven. But when I got out, I would say for 10 years, I was probably an excessively heavy drinker. And thank God I worked hard and worked 14 hours a day and kept my ass busy and learned to semi-control it. But there was no way I could sit and watch the news at night and watch the horseshit that was coming over about Vietnam and Washington burning and Newark burning and D.C. and Detroit and everything else. And alcohol was a great way to escape. And unfortunately, that's what it is. It's an escape vehicle, which has really, really bad consequences. Now, I learned with time, there's a certain amount I can drink, a certain amount I can't. I got away from the hard booze and all the other stuff and learned how to control it. But I would say, at best, I did a mediocre job. And virtually every guy I knew from Vietnam either learned how to control it or got off it 100%. And the ones that didn't do that ended up disappearing. And the real problem was, Mac, in the 70s, drugs came out and became as available as alcohol, and you start mixing those two, you've got an absolutely lethal combination that's uncontrollable. And I don't think the DOD healthcare system or the VA healthcare system was prepared to deal with the level of problem that was out there. And you could hear Jeremiah Workman in his interviews talk about, you know, alcohol became the vehicle for him to stay alive, but he gradually realized he wasn't going to stay alive like that. He would kill himself. So it's a big, big, big issue. I think the post-traumatic growth is in there. I think alcohol is the worst goddamn thing you can use to try and deal with it. But that's after only 55 years of experience.
No, you know what? I recently had, you know, somebody who listens to the program, you know, emailing me at 3 in the morning, your time.
Ranting and raving.
Yeah. And so I called him during the day. I said, hey, you got to stop drinking.
Yeah.
And he said, I know. I said, no. Don't say that to me. You're killing yourself. And so then it's been in my head for the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, in that our culture does not like to say that.
Oh, they don't even talk about it. That's the worst part.
Hey.
I mean, nobody ever talked about it in the Marine Corps when I was on active duty.
Right. Right.
But you listen, when you listen to you and the gunner, both of you guys have had drinks at time. A couple of times in your life, you probably got a little bit rowdy, but you learned how to control it. And, of course, the Marine Corps backed away from that whole thing. You know, the Marine Corps used to have a society of officers' clubs and staff NCO clubs.
Ugh.
But the only purpose for them was to get shit-faced.
Yeah, I was going to say, calling that a society is putting putting lipstick on a pig, okay?
If somebody didn't go on Friday night, they were looked at like they had a third arm.
Oh, yeah. Let me tell you, right? If everybody went... and you didn't, like, what's wrong with him? Why isn't he going? And it would reflect.
The goddamn aviators were better at it than anybody because they take oxygen the next morning and they'd be recovered in half the time.
Right. But one of the favorite sayings that has come out is one of Jeremiah's that comes from the Vietnam veteran is that, you know, you got to keep the monkeys in the cage. Well, to me, he and I were just talking. They're not monkeys. They're fucking gorillas, okay, that come out of the cage.
They're gorillas on steroids.
Yeah, and the golden key, right, is booze to get them out.
Yeah.
And what you're trying to do is keep them in the cage so you can learn to coexist with them. Okay.
And what you do is you end up adding fuel to it.
Yeah, then you let them out of the cage, and then they run around and they annihilate stuff. Most of the time, your friends and your family, and then you kind of sort of put them back in the cage. And so, this is so you're trying to learn to understand and to learn how to coexist with these gorillas, and you're drinking alcohol. That unleashes them in an uncontrollable way, and I don't know. And you can't get to where you need to go by doing that. And so I asked Jeremiah this, and I'll tee it up for you. My advice to people is stop drinking completely. Don't think that you can handle it. Okay, now. Someday you may be able to go back and be a social drinker, but the damage and the pain that comes with drinking is too much. So stop, learn to coexist, and then if you want to become a social drinker after that, do it very, very carefully. But know this: did you ever see the movie What Lies Beneath? What lies behind the cage door that you screw with? You know. Until you can, coexist with it, is pretty rough. So I'm curious.
What's interesting, Mac, you gotta almost be a close friend to tell a person that.
Without a doubt.
Or a close relative. You can't be somebody that you've met 15 minutes ago. I had to do it a couple of times with employees that I worked with that were my level. They were vice presidents and were really good. And they, like me, like to drink a lot. But they let it get to them and get them out of control. And finally, I had to go see him and confront him. I said, you know, you're not not only going to lose your goddamn job, you're going to lose your life, your wife, your kids, everything. And goddamn it, he stopped, and it was 25, 30 years ago. But I couldn't have done it if I were just a casual acquaintance, because he would have said, you know, what the hell do you know? You have no goddamn clue what I'm going through. But Turned out he was a Vietnam vet, too. And
why are you Vietnam guys like that, man? Why don't you guys just
no, because we were treated so great when we got back.
Why don't you assholes just dial it down a little bit, huh? Why is it always gotta be like this? It's interesting. But you know, Bob, I think though, if you're part of the tribe, there's a familiarity. For instance, Jeremiah just talked about going on a marriage retreat. He goes, man, I don't want to talk about this. But so I just said, hey, so what else have you been doing? He goes, I just got back from a marriage retreat, and I'd tell anybody, go on one. And he goes, I know, I'm that guy right now. I'm like, you know what? We're talking about not drinking a marriage retreat? Like, what the hell? Like, what is this turned into? He goes, no. He goes, look, he said, it was good. He goes, she's, you know, my better half, right? And I've been pretty rough to her. So it's not
I've been abusing it.
It's not like I didn't owe her. And he said both of our lives are better. So
it's also interesting, Mac, the number of wounded I've seen that when they're first back on mega drugs. And you know, when you're around Bethesda Naval Hospital or Walter Reed, you don't have to go very far to be able to get alcohol. But a surprising percentage end up stopping it cold, and that's the only way they can get back to a life, because it ends up taking over their life and controlling them. And if they don't, they're in deep trouble. But I must say, in 50 years, the DOD and the branches of service have made huge strides in improving this. Now, you still can't help it when a Navy ship's been at sea 3 months and pulls into a Liberty port down in Southeast Asia. You know, everybody on the ship wants to dive into the local gin mill. But by and large, you look at most of the bases now, the officer clubs and NCO clubs have disappeared. The slop shoot has disappeared, you know.
Right. This is, here's
the name. And the funny thing is, Mac.
Go ahead.
It was never in the press that this was going on.
Right.
The press never, ever, ever talked about that.
They don't know. They don't know what's behind the curtain.
They don't have a clue.
Right. My point was, Jeremiah talked about the comfort that he got at this marriage retreat. He said they only take 10 couples. It's done by an organization called Heal Our Patriots. It's faith-based.
Right.
And he said, and the majority of them were Marines. And he said it felt really good to be around Marines. And so to me, membership in the tribe has privileges. I think you can go talk to another Marine, and not that it works all the time, because it doesn't, but I think more often than not, when you look at somebody and say, hey, man, can I tell you something? And, I mean, we tend to take that on board more often than not. And so so it's kind of interesting to hear him talk about the comfort that he felt just being in the company of other Marines. And so I think that in this very un-Marine-like conversation about alcohol and post-traumatic stress. But you know what? You know, Bob, what's crazy is that both of you guys who've had so much experience, you 55 years and Jeremiah, only 14, but as intense as anybody I've spoken to, you both deliberated about a nanosecond before you answered the question.
Oh, because I think about it every goddamn day. And, you know, when I'm cooking dinner and having a couple glasses of wine, my wife starts frowning at me after that. So, you know, there's a big message there.
Right.
And you got to learn, you know, to stop after you eat and shit like that. But it takes a lot of goddamn willpower.
Well, you know,
and I don't care. I don't think you ever get over it, Mac. I really don't.
Well, no, and I think
it sounds like you must have had a wild 4th of July. That's why you're bringing this up 2 days, 3 days after.
No, I didn't. No, I'm listening to the pain and anguish. I'm listening to somebody's pain and anguish, right? And it keeps happening and keeps happening. And what's the common denominator in it?
Deep
alcohol.
Down inside.
Alcohol. Alcohol is what and so you're trying to learn to coexist with it. Alcohol lets it uncontrolled out of the cage, and then you have to deal with not only it, but what you, the damage you've done to other people and other relationships. And I had a conversation with Colleen about it. About, you know, she's 14, and now her friends are starting to drink, and family members are starting to drink, and tell her, hey, we don't want you to feel left out, but we're going to go out, and we're probably going to drink. And I said, and I told her, I said, let me just, you know, because I don't drink that much. My ex-wife, Susan, doesn't drink that much. Our kids have a good time, and but they've, I would say, by and large, handled it well as they're going through their 20s, which isn't always easy. But I told her, I said, all the people you know that are screwed up, that have had struggled with their lives, to include my sister who died of exposure related to alcoholism, what's the common theme?
Oh, yeah.
And she looked at me.
Yeah, absolutely.
She said, drinking. I said, that's right. Sure. And I said, so look, you know, you don't need to start when you're 14 or 15. It's powerful stuff, and it ruins lives. And don't be afraid to take some shit like, oh, Goody Two-Shoes doesn't drink, you know, whatever.
But Mac, half the bat was talking about it. And right. For years and years, nobody ever talked about that shit. I had a brother commit suicide, and alcohol was 90% of the problem. And, you know, that shit just goes on. But, like, when I got back from Vietnam, I swore I would never own a house without a refrigerator in the garage full of beer. Now, in those days, I drank beer. Now, I'm lucky if I have 4 beers a year, but I still got a refrigerator full of beer in the garage. Ice cold when it's 97 degrees out. Now, how screwed up is that thinking?
That is screwed up. No, you know, but it is. And again, this is not a Marine-like conversation. And, you know, it's not a combat arms guy. It's not a warrior type of conversation. But the conclusion is unmistakable, right?
And you look how many times you've seen guys, outstanding Marines, go completely off course and destroy their career because of goddamn alcohol.
You know,
and you see it in the civilian world.
Right. You know, I had to comment on probably a year ago. And I don't know, towards the end of the interview, I said, hey, if you give young people advice, what do you tell them? And he took a breath and he said, don't drink. And he said, you know, I've seen so much destruction of careers, of life, that was unnecessary, completely unnecessary.
Sure.
And the common theme is in it is alcohol. It's just not worth it. No, don't drink. Find another way. Don't drink. I said, wow. He said, I know. He said, I know.
But when that permeates Paris Island and San Diego at those levels, that's when the message really will get across.
Yep.
Because, you know, when I went through PLC at Quantico, my goddamn staff sergeant had been in World War II in Korea, could run the obstacle course for every platoon in the company 3 times. And I saw him 10 years later at Lejeune sleeping under his desk. And, you know, it had completely destroyed the guy. And they were, I'm sure there was nobody counseling him. There might have been a couple, but there weren't many.
No, everybody else was in there doing it with him.
Oh, well, look at Jeremiah when he's on the speaking circuit.
Right.
Every night he gives a speech, everybody goes to the bar and has a bunch of drinks.
You know, it's interesting.
What a great solution that is.
It's interesting you bring that up because I said, could the Marine Corps have done any more to put you in situations that were fundamentally detrimental to you? And he laughed.
Yeah, they could have injected it into him.
they could have got an IV for him and a little bottle on that roller thing to walk around.
And you walk around with the little poles. So
exactly.
But
that would have been the only thing. Put him on the rubber ties, the rubber chicken circuit, giving speeches, everybody buying you drinks, getting you drunk. Sending you to the drill field. There's a little
Jeremy
bit of stress
came,
for you.
Jeremy came to grips with it and figured it out, and that's why I have so much respect for that son of a gun. Far more respect for him dealing with that than getting the Navy Cross.
You know,
I mean, he really did an unbelievable thing solving that problem.
Well, you know, one thing she talked about this morning was he's now accepted it, what happened. He said,
yep.
For years and years, I would go over it thinking, what could I do different? You know, how could I change things that happened? He said, and now when I he said, now when I think about it, I don't think about it like that anymore. I think about the guys and how great they were and how much fun we were had together. But I don't think about it in terms of changing it. I've accepted it. And I said, well, why? He said, one morning I woke up and I said, I just have to be better. And in order for me to be better, I need to accept it. And he said, and it wasn't for me. I needed to be better for other people, my kids and my wife. And that was the motivating force that really allowed me to view this differently, which helped me accept it, which is pretty interesting stuff. Pretty interesting stuff. But
it's all to his credit because it shows the incredible progress and success he's made, which the way he was going, he probably wouldn't have been alive in 3 years.
No.
You can tell from the stories, you know?
Right. No, and again, I'm uncomfortable saying that, like, hey, stop drinking. Because
that's why you waited till I got home from a 3-day weekend in Wildwood. Nice.
Timing is everything in life. But I will tell you this, all joking aside, if one of the steps of you learning how to coexist with trauma is not stopping drinking or severely limiting your drinking, which a lot of people can't do.
You know,
Bob, I want a garage full of beer. Why? So you can have 2 beers a day? No. Okay. That when I start, I don't have to go out and get it. It's already here. Okay. And it's cold. And it's,
I want it there, so 3 months from now, I want a cold beer.
Yeah.
It's there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And not some asshole tell me there's none available.
Yeah, exactly.
So I go trading with the Korean Marines to get my beer.
So, yeah, but again, it's interesting that I can even feel my inner person saying, do you really want to go there? Do you really want to be that guy? But it's the truth. It's the truth.
No, and it needs to be talked about. It really does.
And more than anything else, to me, hopefully Almond Radio is about the truth. And the truth is, if you're dealing with post-traumatic anything, right, if you're dealing with trauma.
Yep.
Alcohol.
Any way, shape, or form.
Alcohol will only
issues,
make the path more difficult.
It's going to make it worse.
All right. Anything exciting going on today? How's the weather? Still hot?
No, it's been beautiful. We've had about 4 days where it's been sunny, no clouds, in the 60s at night and in the 80s during the day, and a nice breeze. It was been spectacular. Last week it was up near 100 every day. Jesus, it was terrible. But it's really been good. Now, helping a couple of people with their career transitions today and a couple of vets from starting a business, so things are going good.
The Apostle, Bob Nielsen.
It works.
No, and again.
Go start a business.
The just a little pitch for Turner, a buddy of mine, about a month ago. Also, I'm sitting here doing a show one morning. All of a sudden, I get a message. Hey Mac, can you hook me into Turner? I'm transitioning, and officer friend of mine served in Afghanistan together, and hooked him into Bob. And so it's awesome to have a network. That Bob has been very instrumental in putting together to help guys. And I got this great email from him. Hey, I just got off the phone with Nielsen. I'm really excited. Turner has some great opportunities, hoping something can work out, but can't say thank you enough. So
as I told you, Mac, we got a vet, an Army vet, a medic, who was there when Pat Horan got shot in the head 11 years ago. And helped with that situation, and he was convinced Pat had died, and he ended up getting a 100% medical disability from the Army, and I got him now working with Turner as a safety superintendent. So I just got a note today from Turner. Our goal is to try to get 50 veterans with some kind of combat experience in Turner this year, and I think they've gotten 27 or something like that, and there's been 3 or 4 that what we're doing with me and all Marine Radio coming through the system. So it's working.
All right. So if you know anybody who's transitioning, somebody who's looking for a career with a company that
that gives a shit,
is looking for them and gives a shit, all you got to do is ping us here at All Marine Radio, and we can push that ball in motion. All right, sir. First of all, I appreciate you coming on short notice. I appreciate, as always, appreciate your candor.
Thank you. It was uncomfortable talking about it, but I'm glad you brought it up because it needs to be talked about.
All right, bud. Have a good day. Thank you.
Take care, Matt.
The one and only, Robert Nielsen. Yeah, you know, here's a couple of interesting emails. Clubs, late 1991, Boss's Night at the Kaneohe Staff and CO Club. Unlimited beer flowing, strippers working the room, rubbing their blessings on my head. Can you imagine? Tailhook changed everything. Yeah. Our naval aviators brought that stuff to CONUS. I thought that stuff had to be, like, outside the United States. They didn't get the memo on that. And so, yeah, brought that craziness back to the United States. So, anyway. And I think we'd all be naive to think it completely went away, but a lot of it went away. A lot of it went away. But again, what we're talking about, though, is is the combination of post-traumatic stress and alcohol. Does it work ever? And again, my conclusion is no. It doesn't work. And we can, you know, again, you can hear Jeremiah and I both balking at, you know, saying the obvious. That that while you learn to coexist, you can't unleash that kind of the genie out of the bottle. So anyway, and then maybe there's a way that you can go back and become a social drinker. A lot of people can't do that. A lot of people can't do that. So again, I had that rolling in my head from a number of different angles, and so it's an interesting conversation. I'll ask the Gunner what he thinks about that. More of All Marine Radio. We'll check some news headlines coming up next, so don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the one and only All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.